So I'll talk about electric field, both in classical and quantum setting. In my presentation, I will follow the work of Paul Wigman. Paul Wigman, and he has many authors. So I start with the classical. So let me remind you the mean results of the classical theory. So classical a theory of electric field. Mathematically, it's the same as linear potential theory. So we consider the following situation. So we have an external field. Function a q. So I'll consider the two-dimensional case, or for no reason, so everything works is the same all dimensions except for conformal invariances. So q is a function in the complex plane. Potential, Coulomb potential, so in two dimensions, that's logarithmic at infinity. For example, plus, so identically, the potential can be identically infinite. This function has to be lower semi-continuous. Now, if we have a measure mu in the plane, and think of this as the distribution of some electric charge, so mu is a finite measure, then we have the energy of this measure, which is the sum of the energy of the Coulomb potential itself, so this charge itself, and the energy of the interaction with the external field. So this energy with respect to the external field is the logarithmic energy plus twice so mass of the measure times the integral. So mu of q is the integral of q against the measure. And E of mu is the Coulomb energy. So this integral. So in two dimensions, in three dimensions, the Coulomb kernel is 1 over z minus w, and this is twice the work that the electron will produce if we let them go to infinity, right? So and that's the reason for this too, also. So in mathematics we multiply the physical energy. This is the energy of the external field, right? So this that's my notation. field is large at infinity, and the electrons, they are pushing, so they are trying to escape to infinity, and well, but the external field keeps them confined to some finite region, and as a result of this condition, we obtain the equilibrium measure. So mu hat is the equilibrium measure. So which well gives the minimum to the energy. So we need to minimize the energy. Say probabilistic measures. So the equilibrium measure, we normalize the charge to V1, so we consider all probability measures in the plane and choose the one with the minimal energy. And this is gamma of Q, the capacity constant.
The total charge might affect
actually,
I mean.
The total charge is 1.
Yeah, but why?
Well, we just.
Can we scale everything somehow? You put more charges and they spread more, right?
So yeah. Right, so, but we define the equilibrium measure for the charge of to total mass 1. Right, so. So this is a Frostman theorem, the existence and uniqueness of the equilibrium measure.
I don't understand the first formula. What does this mu of one
come from? So mu of Q is the integral of Q against mu. Mu of one is the total mass.
Okay.
All right. So mu of one is the mu of one. All right, so a special case here in this construction is when, so example is when we have a compact set in the plane, we set potential Q plus infinity outside, Q equal to zero inside, and then the equilibrium measure will be on the boundary here, right? So the, in high school textbooks in physics, it's called Faraday screening. So you feel only the boundary of the domain, not what's inside. So actually, so the equilibrium measure is the harmonic measure at infinity. Now, to find this equilibrium measure, if it's, well, it's not a simple problem how to find the equilibrium measure, it helps to consider actually the potential of the equilibrium measure. So let's consider U hat, so it's the logarithmic potential of the equilibrium measure, so integral log 1 over z minus w d mu. So the second part of the Frostman theorem, so I repeat, the Frostman theorem says that there exists a unique equilibrium measure, and then he characterizes this measure. So the claim is that, the wording. So the claim is the following, that there exists a constant, C, it depends on the potential, such that the function, so if we add to the equilibrium potential this constant, so then this function solves the obstacle problem for Q, so which is defined, so which means the following, so V is the infimum of all, so the smallest the largest subharmonic function below the obstacle. V less than Q, and then we need V behaves like log 1 over So this is the graph of Q. So graph of Q. And we are looking at the smallest subharmonic function below this obstacle.
Maybe the largest?
The largest, sorry. I usually write the smallest superharmonic above the obstacle.
Limb should be super.
Right, so I repeat, we think of Q as an obstacle, and we are looking for the largest subharmonic function. Subharmonic means the Laplacian is non-negative. Satisfies this inequality, so below the obstacle, and V has to have this asymptotic at infinity, the asymptotic of the logarithmic kernel. So when the potential is constant on some set and infinite outside, so. The graph of this function would be like this, right? And then we're looking at a harmonic function. So the potential is a harmonic function, and outside of the set K, and it is constant on the set K. So equilibrium potential is constant, which is physically kind of clear, right? So if the external field is constant, so is absent, then the equilibrium distribution is characterized by the condition that the potential is constant. So now the structure of the solution of the obstacle problem is the following. So we define the set S star. So that's the coincidence set, so the set where V is equal to Q, the potential, so the solution is equal to Q. So this is a closed set, compact set, right? Because we assumed local, that is one of the reasons for this condition. And then the outside of this coincident set, the solution to the obstacle problem is harmonic. That's basically the Piron principle. In C minus C star. The Laplacian of V is precisely the Laplacian of Q in the interior of the coincident set. And on the boundary, that's the problem. So what's in the boundary? So anyway, the potential can be recovered. So the measure can be recovered from its potential by taking the Laplacian. So it's 1 over 2 pi Laplacian of V. That V is the same as the potential up to a constant. It doesn't matter. It follows that the support of the equilibrium measure is a subset of the coincident set, because outside of the coincident set, the Laplacian is zero. Then we know the Laplacian in the interior, so we have the equilibrium measure is equal to 1 over 2 pi the Laplacian of Q, the known exterior potential. times, so the so the characteristic function of the interior of the coincident set, and then plus the part of the equilibrium measure on the boundary of the. So that's a difficult part. Probably it's time to give some examples. So that was the most classical example. So the case when we don't have external potential, but we have restriction to some complex set. So the next example is due to Gauss. It's actually all the theory started long before Frostmann. So the potential, if Q is z squared, then because of the symmetry, of course, the coincidence set is a circle, and then the equilibrium measure is the area measure, normalized to the mass one, the area measure of the circle. Slightly changeable area because the Laplacian of z squared is 1. Pure is, further example due to Gauss. So now we take again the same z absolute value of z squared that gives the potential, the Laplacian 1. And add a harmonic function, and the only harmonic function we can add to satisfy the conditions at infinity. Remember, at infinity we need to have infinity, strong infinity. And so anything but the quadratic. We can take quadratic polynomial a real part of z squared. So that's basically up to a linear shift. So the only possible global example of this situation, and of course A we have to take A less or equal to 1 in the absolute value. And then the shape is an ellipse. So that's the result of the example due to Gauss. Okay, so let's go further. Let's take U is again z squared plus now the cubic polynomial. That doesn't make sense globally, but we will restrict this to a finite domain. So we take I rather take twice twice the absolute value of z squared plus 1/3 of the real part of z cube, the precise statement is the following. So this is example from Wigman's paper, and I'm giving the inaccurate statement. So the inaccurate statement here is the following. So Q is this external field, but of course it doesn't satisfy the growth condition at infinity. So we restrict this to Q to a disk of radius R. So Q of R is Q if Z is less or equal to R in the absolute value, M plus infinity if Z is greater than R. Okay? And then the claim is that for this particular choice of, like normalization. So for this potential, there exists, there exists a unique value of R, R0, such that The measure, so this measure on the boundary, is absent, such that mu hat on the boundary is zero. So there exists a unique localization, so a unique disk of radius, so a unique disk, such that if we localize the potential to this disk, then the boundary term will disappear. For this radius, then the so this is the disk of radius R, and then the solution of the free boundary problem, and this is the obstacle problem, is a classical example of the free boundary problem. So the solution will be a well-known algebraic curve called. I have to apologize to people who understand Russian. So it's called hypertrapezoid. Domain has three cusps. Of course, we have rotational symmetry by 120 degrees. So we have three over two cusps. Three over two means that the width of the cusp is the 3/2 power of the distance to the vertex. So it's like y is equal to plus minus x to the power of 3/2. So that's the meaning of 3/2. So that's the statement. If we take a larger radius, so then most of the equilibrium measure would be on the boundary. If we take a smaller circle, then of course we have part of this domain plus everything that the balayage of the equilibrium measure. So there's just one way to localize this potential to get non-trivial picture. So this is a distant or close relative of Riggs annulus, of course. So this example. And there are many. In principle, one can compute. Make similar examples for. So for all cases when we have polynomial theory, right? So you add to the absolute value of z squared a polynomial, and then you can solve the free boundary problem, unlike the case yes, right. This shape is not, circle shape is not special. So you have to, you can characterize, so all droplets, so we call this droplets when the equilibrium measure is absolutely continuous with respect to the area measure, no boundary term. So you can characterize all droplets localized to some open set. Okay, so but in this case, circle. Yeah. Okay. So finally, in this, I'm finishing the discussion of the classical theory. So I also mentioned the discrete part of this theory, the Fichetti theory, and that gives a link to the quantum. So we now consider only measures. So after all, electrons are so you, that you cannot so they can't you can't have a continuous distribution of electric charge. So we consider measures of the form so the angle. So Z is a point in Cn. So we take many electrons. So n is about 10 to 34 or 35. Well, the reciprocal of the Planck constant. So Z is the coordinates is Zj. So Peter, that's not a big dimension, right?
No,
of course. You're right. Consider delta measures at these points, delta measures, and average them. Then, of course, the energy of this mass is infinite, but we normalize, so modify the definition of energy. So the energy now is defined just ignoring the diagonal term. So energy with respect to the external field Q and sharp here. So this measure is 1 over n times n minus 1 sum over all pairs log 1 zj minus zk. Okay, so that's the energy without external field plus you add the energy of the external field, which is the same as before. So this factor n times n minus 1 is, of course, the number of unordered pairs. And this is the logarithm of the van der Mond term. And then you minimize this. So we minimize the energy of all configuration of n point masses. So that gives us the capacity constant or Piketty constant gamma sub n. Piketty theorem so is that of course also as n tends to infinity, the discrete capacity tends to the continuous capacity.
You add the Q as well.
Q. And moreover. If the energies of if we had a sequence of discrete masses or discrete measures mu, and the discrete energies tend to the equilibrium constant to the capacity, so then the measures tend to mu. All right, so now let's move to the quantum setting, quantum mechanical setting. So we consider a discrete measures of this type, but they will be random. So quantum mechanics. Consider in other words, a probability distribution in Cn on the space of such measures, the distribution is given by the partition function Zn of Q. So we integrate e minus constant beta n times n minus 1 the discrete energy of Q of Z. So this integrate over Cn. Z is a point, so that's the volume element in Cn. So beta is a constant, the inverse temperature, and for certain values of beta, you have the random, has a random matrix interpretation of this. Statistics, so for us, it's won't be essential. So also beta is one of those. So this expression is the energy. So we divided by n times n minus one. Now we multiply by this. So this expression is the energy of n unit masses in energy of n point unit charges in the field n times q. So that's the
So we should understand this as a function of the measure, because the E is a function of the measure, right?
Yes, energy of the measure, but the measure is a point measure, so I write Z instead.
But so the partition problem depends on which measure you choose, right? You could write mu as an argument of Z.
No, this is the standard partition part.
So it's integration with configuration of charges.
Yes.
All the charges are
yes.
Yeah, that's the Z.
We need the field. So Q is a function which is of order one at finite distances, right? We need exterior field of order n to confine to control n unit charges. So that's the seems to be the right normalization. And any physicist can explain why, the reason for the choice of this Gibbs-Boltzmann distribution, so either from the point of view of statistical mechanics or from the point of view of quantum mechanics. So as a weak I won't discuss this.
But it's not clear to me why you're taking beta out of the problem.
I'm not taking them just for simplicity of notations. I said beta equal to 1. The answer depends on beta.
Okay.
Disease is the volume measure in CM. This partition function determines the P, the probability measure, in CM. I don't need to explain how this terminology, partition function, so how you get the measure. Now we have this random measure. So we think of this as a random field. So Fn is 1 over n but sum delta Zj. So this is a random field. Random field. And by field, I mean simply a function or a measure or a generalized function. The meaning of this is that we have, we can apply field to a test function. So it's a field is a random distribution, random generalized function. So we can apply the field to a test function f. This will be, of course, the linear statistics. So we apply a field to a test function, we obtain a random variable. This random variable in statistics is called linear statistics, f of zj. The n is very large. It's effectively infinity, but not quite. This field is the classical field. So the claim is the quasi-classical limit of the quantum field is the classical field.
This is the charge distribution. This is not the field.
I explain what my definition of a field. It's a function, a measure, or a generalized function. So which the okay. So physically, electric field is the gradient of the potential. The charge distribution produces potential, so I call all this, I call this fields. So as I said, so Fn tends to this random field tends to mu hat, the classical field, and the meaning is precisely this. So on test functions we have this condition. So the meaning is that linear statistics tends to the mu hat of f. So that's the integral of f against mu hat, I explained this notation, in distribution. And of course, our functional is positive, so of course then the space of test function for this statement is bounded continuous functions. This is what you would expect, and this is actually a theorem. Essentially due to Kurt-Johansson. When I mentioned example, I forgot to mention the most famous example. You take Q of x equal to x squared on the real line, and plus infinity of the real line. Or Q of x is any function on the real line. This situation has been extensively studied in the theory of random Hermitian matrices. Johansson proved this theorem. In the setting of in the one dimensional case, but his argument extends to the dimension. But for physicists, this is a trivial statement. The classical field is the limit of the. Tutorial part. I mentioned three directions from here. One question is in classical theory. One question will be in quantum theory, and the third question in both. So question one is classical. How to actually find the equilibrium measure? But we're interested only in the situation where we have no boundary term. So we consider interested in the situation orthogonal to what Johansson and other people in random matrices study. How to find the shape of the droplet? How to solve the free boundary problem? How to find S? So this is the support. S is the support of the equilibrium method. Now, question two is a question of quantum mechanics. We know that the quantum fields tend to the classical field, what are the next corrections? So F is mu hat plus Fn is equal to mu hat plus then 1 over n times. If we believe in this expansion, the next term would be some field times 1 over n, and probably further on.
Sorry.
So what is this what is this field? And and now question three that actually that looks like a question of classical theory, but it is in fact also a question about the quantum field is the following question three. So how does the droplet or the equilibrium measure change? How does mu hat change, or if S change? How does this the shape of the droplet change if we change the potential? If we change a cube.
So you're not thinking about general cube, or you're still thinking about x squared, z squared?
No, I'm considering general cubes. And I want to understand to study the variation, variation of the. And this is a basically a basic physical philosophy that so if you want to find the next term in the expansion, so you study the variation of the previous terms. So this applies to both and of course in this case, so every structure here has a name. So these shapes, those can be computed. So the possibility of the computation, that's the result of the of certain complete integrability structure in this problem. Now the change in the classical setting when we change the potential, so that's the Laplacian growth, the Healy-Shaw model, or equation, which is actually not an equation, but again more like a structure in algebraic geometry. This part I think will more or less explain.
So can you explain if there is a difference between S and S star? It's crazy in the sense that supported measure.
So we cannot do much. Thanks for asking. Yeah, I forgot to put this part. We cannot do much in this generality, there are certain level of results. So the first one is the following. So. So these are results about the free boundary problem. I return to this question and give an answer here. So of course physicists know the answer. So you get here the Gaussian free field with correction of this Polyakov Alvarez. To the results, we can prove this only in the manageable situation, and this the situation described by the theory by some results in the theory of free boundary problem. So the first one is we need simply the Q is smooth. So how smooth? There's a natural space. Q is W one infinity log. In the neighborhood of S star. So the reason for this space is, of course, we can the potential can be arbitrarily smooth, but when you solve the this obstacle problem, you always, even in one-dimensional case where subharmonic functions are simply convex functions, so you always have this type of second order. So you can have C2, and that's the structure. So if Q is smooth up to this class, so that's natural. So if Q is smooth, But it's important that Q, we need to localize Q. So it's, we require Q is smooth in the neighborhood of the C star. So in this case, so we have this, the equilibrium measure is precisely 1 over 2 pi, the Laplacian times the Laplacian of the potential times the characteristic function of the support of the measure, and the support of the measure is the support of the measure 1 restricted to S star. Right, so you take the coincidence set, restrict the area measure to the set, take the support of the set. So for instance, you eliminate the things, so the you may have some counter set as a coincidence set, but then you need to take only the essential part, and so you get this result. So this is one of the main.
One here for the Beckman, the simple area.
Yes. One is all easy indicator function or the area measure. So this is due to Caffarelli. So that one of the strongest facts of the field. Okay. So this is source of. Results of the theory of free boundary problem. The second one concerns a real analytic potential. C omega means real analytic. Again, in the neighborhood of S. In this case, so the claim is, so this is Sakai's theory, so the claim is that then the solution of the free boundary problem is a real analytic curve with possible singularities, and these singularities are more or less well understood and classified. For example, we cannot have cusps of order 3 over 2, as in the example I mentioned. So in that case, we cannot extend the potential beyond the circle. So we can't have analyticity in the whole neighborhood. But cusps of order 5 over 2 are allowed, for example. So double points, so in this case, the classification is a little
tricky. For that example, Q was a polynomial. Isn't polynomial a real analytic function?
Was truncated to be infinity.
You have to truncate this. You have to truncate. I repeat. So if Q is a real analytic, so then C omega with a certain type of singularities plus also the statement that the coincidence set the part of the coincidence set outside of the support is isolated, is separated from the droplet, so separated from S. Right? So in principle we have finitely many components, each one is an algebraic curve, real analytic curve, and then the coincidence set would consist of something outside of it. All right, so let me return to this question, and since I don't have much time, so let me state the result here.
Thank you.
So we have this, remember Fn. So Fn is the one over n times sum of delta zg, so we, so random eigenvalues or so positions of electrons, so delta measures one over n. So we want if n, so we just subtract, right, so we want to find this term, so we multiply by n, subtract mu hat. So we take then n, so we multiply by n, subtract n mu hat. All right, so the claim, is that, so this random field, or the collection of random fields, converges in the same sense as I explained on test functions. Test functions now takes infinity. So it converges inside, okay, so I have now only 1 minute, so I state this strongest result. Okay, so it converges to some deterministic field. Okay, so in the interior of S or of the droplet, and they, then we assume that the C2 condition. So we have C2 condition in the neighborhood of S. The claim is that, so then the next correction term in the interior of the droplet converges to so 1 over A to apply the Laplacian of the curvature. So this is the old distribution. So times 1 over S. That's the next term. So that's the deterministic distribution plus the Gaussian field on the Dirichlet space, so left space. One, two, in the interior of S with Dirichlet boundary conditions.
I'm sorry, what does the last term mean?
So it means precisely the following. So it means this. So remember, the field is something we apply to a test function. So when we apply this, so it means that for any test function, for any F, so let's see, in C naught in the interior of S. So we apply the also this thing, so you get sum over fzj's, the linear statistic. So this is the tensor distribution, this random variable standard distribution to a normal it's a normal variable with a mean value af and the variation sigma f. Where so AF is integral F well 1 over 2 8 pi F delta log delta Q P over the function, and sigma F is integral so it's the gradient normal left. The gradient normal left. Sigma f squared. So a Gaussian field on a given Hilbert space means the isometry from the Hilbert space to some probability, to or some probability space, and the image is a Gaussian for each. All right. so inside the droplet you have a conformal well invariance. The result on the boundary is the following, so you have a Gaussian field with free boundary conditions. But then we need more control about Q, so the result about the boundary applies only to real analytic potential. And then I refer to the work of Rikenia, so that pioneered so rigorous results about Gaussian free fields, converges to free Gaussian fields in height models. So this is a pretty much analogous to the situation we have with the frozen regime, with the droplet where the lambda of the body you have, and you have more similar results. Okay, thank you.